Let us now turn for our scripture reading, which is found in the Gospel of John in the chapter 1. The Gospel of John in the first chapter, and reading from the verse 1 through to the verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to the verse 18. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. The Lord truly give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. We end the public reading of God's most holy and fallible, inerrant and sacred word there, and we pray that the Lord will bless that public reading to our hearts, and that he will be glorified in the exposition of his word, and he might give us light and illumination by his Spirit to understand. Well, dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the word of God that I read to you in your hearing, the Gospel of John, and the chapter 1 is where we are this evening. My text this evening is taken from the verses 11 to the verse 13 of Gospel of John, the verses 11 to the verse 13. These words: He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 1, verses 11 to the verse 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Lord helping me this evening. Now these three verses that are set before us, verse 11, 12, and 13, we could say are perhaps some of the most solemn, and yet some of the most sad and profound verses in all of Scripture, but also some of the most amazing and encouraging verses in all Scripture. We find this extreme blend of sadness, the profound wickedness of men's hearts, the total depravity of man, and yet the heart of a gracious God. This is all set before us. We see man's total wickedness. We see this is all, not just the Jews, for it says he came to his own, that is his own people, and they received him not, but also he was rejected and put to death, both by the Jews and the Gentiles. The world received him not. Verse 10 tells us of this amazing thing. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, verse 11, and his own received him not. So two things really set before us by way of introduction here. We see man's utterly wretched and helpless and hopeless state and sin, his wickedness before God, his heart that is enmity. Here is the creator of the world that has come into the world, and yet we see the salvation of God by grace, how he makes many to become the sons of God. And actually the word here, tekron, is the word in the Greek. It means children. He gave them the power to become the children of God. Those who are not, we're all born strayed from the womb and strayed from God. We have strayed from him. From that moment we are conceived in the womb, we are haters of God, despisers of God. So these verses really truly ought to humble every heart here this evening, whether we're saved or not. It ought to humble our hearts. We can pass over them quite easily, can't we, with not much thought. We read these words. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. You see, there's the difference, but born of God. And we'll speak about that this evening. What does that all mean? Now, firstly, let us ponder the person whom the Apostle John, as we know, John was perhaps the last living apostle. We read in the book of the Revelation, somewhere around the time 95-98 AD, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God gave him a revelation of the things to come, that this Lord Jesus, who was put to death by the hands of wicked men, would come again into this world for the second time, not to be condemned upon a cross, but to sit upon a throne, a judgment throne. The Bible says we shall all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and those who pierced him will see him, every eye will see him. Every living soul that has ever lived and walked upon this earth will see him. Let us ponder this person. Who is he? It says here, he, verse 11, he came unto his own. He here is the second person of the Trinity, the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus. Notice, as let me trace it for you as we go to the verse 1. Who is this he? In the beginning was the Word, verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, that is the Word, was in the beginning with God, who, as verse 1 says, is God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now you notice in the verse 14, this Word who was with God and who is God was made flesh. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. That is, he took on human nature. God the Son, who was eternally before the Father, the self-existent God, God who is Spirit, this Word was with God. Always was he before the Father. He is the one who the Father sent into the world. Galatians 4:4 tells us, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. That is an amazing thing. We are told here in the verse 10, He made the world. He who made the world was contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. The Creator, God the Son, took to Himself a real body, a real soul. Scriptures say His soul was made an offering for sin. He who was with God and He who was God became flesh. When the Apostle Paul, who we know was struck on that road to Damascus, persecuting the church, that very Lord Jesus, in His amazing grace, struck him down and dealt with his life. That is amazing grace. To think that God would deal with the greatest persecutor of the church as a man and dealt with him. When he was in prison, writing to young Timothy, he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." What does that mean, manifest? You young people, it means He was seen. He appeared. He came in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed in the world. Now received up into glory. That's an amazing thing. This one who has created all things came into this world, and people rejected Him. The very Creator of the heavens and the earth, it says He came to His own, that is His own people. He had shown favor to His own people, the Israelites, for not just centuries, but thousands of years. If you were to study your Bibles in the Old Testament, you'll see how gracious this one, He appeared to His own before, but not as a man. The angel of His presence, we read of in the Scriptures. We read of the angel of His presence in the Old Testament. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden. There He was. He had come and He had manifested Himself long even before the Jews. The Jews did not exist until Abraham. But then finally, when the Hebrew came about through Abraham, who was called out of darkness, He revealed Himself to Abraham there at Mamre. In what figure, in what type, in what form? Well, there were three figures, weren't there? Three angelic figures, but one of them was the Son of God in angelic form. There was one that was completely different, who told Him the future, who told Him that He would have a son one day, and that all the promises of God would come through that line, that lineage, and that through that seed of Abraham, the nations of the world would be blessed. All of grace. He appeared long, long of old, but now He's appeared in the flesh. When He came, when He was born into this world, we read, don't we, in Matthew's Gospel, that the wise men of the East came, the Magi. We don't know how many there were. There could have been many, many of them that came. It says they saw His star, because the prophets spoke of Him, of His star, of His appearing. And you can read in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, of the weeks of the Savior. And you can do your calculations. You can look back to prophecy of Scripture, and you can work out the time that He would come. And the Magi knew approximately that at this place, because the Scriptures tell us that He would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, and that His star would appear. And they were looking for that star. And then they said, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? We have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him." He had appeared in the Old Testament, and He had helped His people. He came, as I said, in angelic form many times before. He appeared, maybe you just want to turn there with me, in the book of Exodus, the chapter 3. We read there how He appeared to Moses. And it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. So that very angel of the Lord was in the burning bush, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, a bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. This very angel of the Lord is very God himself. We've seen it in our studies recently in the book of Judges, in the chapter 6. The same angel of the Lord appears, does he not, to Gideon. And he consumes the sacrifice, and he even goes into the flame of fire. In the case where Manoah and his wife are spoken to. And Manoah says, we've seen God, he's afraid he's going to die. But because of that sacrifice, God was pleased, and therefore he was not consumed. His wife said to him, God has received our sacrifice. And it is because of the sacrifice of the Savior that sinners who are his will not be consumed. He is the angel of the Lord that appeared. He appeared to Joshua in Joshua chapter 5. He said the same thing to Joshua as he said to Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground in which you walk upon is holy ground. Here is the one who made the ground. Here is the one who made everything. He is holy, completely different. He has made heavens and earth, and here is the one whom angels now worship in heaven, appeared to his own people, who he had ministered to for thousands of years in the Old Testament. And when he finally comes, he comes to his own, and his own received him not. These people who knew the Scriptures, at least in their head, they had a knowledge. The Pharisees knew the Scriptures. But when he came, they rejected him. You see, it just proves man hates God. That's man by nature. Well, in Isaiah 63:9, we read, in all of their affliction, that is in the Old Testament, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. How did he appear? He also appeared, didn't he? Didn't he go before his people as they went through the Red Sea in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? Paul tells us that he is that rock which Moses smote, and the water flowed out of the rock. And he says they drank of that all that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock, he says, was Christ. He blessed his people. When he came to his own, though, his own received him not. Now, you notice here it says, received him not. This doesn't sound very strong language, but it's what we call litotes. It's a technical term used to emphasize radical, extreme underestimation. In other words, they rejected him. They utterly rejected him. Completely. But it was prophesied. This is not something we must marvel at. In the prophecy of Isaiah, we read, don't we? He is despised and rejected of men. This was all said hundreds of years, that he would be rejected of men. Isaiah 53 verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And Isaiah, looking by the Spirit ahead, says, to these things prophesied, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And so on. He was in the world. Look at the verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Isn't that amazing? How is it the world didn't know him? I mean, think of the things that he did when he was in the world. Did he not control the elements? Did he not say to the sea, be still? Did he not calm the waves? Is he not the one that has controlled all the elements in the Old Testament? But now also in the new, when he appears in the flesh and he does these amazing things, he heals the blind, the lepers, the lame, the halt. People receive their sight, their hearing again. People raised from the dead, showing that he is the Creator. He came to his own, and they received him not. I mean, everything that he did showed that he is God, manifest in the flesh. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing. We read here, without him was not anything made that was made. Absolutely everything. He knew everything about everything. You read at the end of this chapter, he knows Nathanael, who's sitting under the tree. He knew him. He's known him. He knew he would sit there. He knew that he would meet with him. He came, we read at the end of this chapter, he went and he found Philip. He came to speak to Philip, because that was planned from all eternity past. This is all ordained by the Son of God, who has set the decrees with the Father and the Holy Spirit in motion long before they are eternal decrees. He did these amazing things, and he knew the thoughts of men. He read their hearts. Often he would say, "Why do you murmur in your heart?" Well, he could read the hearts of men. He knew. He did these mighty works. And he went about doing good all of his life. Raising the dead, even. One time he healed 10 lepers instantaneously. One turned around. The 9 didn't turn around. They went on their way, and they were all Jews. All of them Jews. But the one that turned around and gave thanks and glorified God, he was a Samaritan. He came to his own, and his own received him not. When he did all these things, when he restored sight, when he healed a man once who had demons, devils in him, and he was in a terrible state. The Jews said, he does these things by Beelzebub, the devil. He's just done such good to a man. And yet they accuse him of a wicked work. I mean, why would he cast out devils if he's in league with the devil? Do you see the wickedness of men's hearts? And then finally, when there was a choice between him and Barabbas, they chose Barabbas to put him to death. Insurrectionist, murderer. Well, the scriptures say in Mark 15:10, for he knew that the chief priest delivered him for envy. They were jealous. That's the wicked heart of men. And it says, but the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. They had no love for him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And then what about Pilate, that spineless lackey, who was only concerned about his political career? The same with Herod. The Gentiles were no better. The Roman soldiers. The world was no better than them. Many, the religious people, think about Caiaphas, even prophesied about the Lord Jesus. Well, it was all out of envy and hatred that they put him to death. The entire mass of humanity, the Jews especially, it shows how lost and how depraved the human heart it really is, doesn't it? He came, we could say, even to his own creatures. Not just the Jews, but Gentiles, and they received him not. Now the Jews, they prided themselves on Moses. They prided themselves on circumcision. Paul has to write to the Romans in Romans chapter 4 and address them about circumcision, because many of them thought that they were justified. They thought they were right by circumcision. But what do the scriptures tell us about circumcision? Abraham was saved long before he was circumcised. Long before. Paul says, when did he receive this blessedness of justification, of being right with God? He said, in circumcision or out of circumcision? Out of circumcision. What was the sign and seal of Abraham's faith? Romans 4:11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, and yet being uncircumcised. You see, the Jews, they prided themselves on circumcision. When a Jew was circumcised, it was especially pointing to the fact of the righteousness of Abraham's faith, which he has, Paul said, before he was actually circumcised. He was justified. It showed that there was a need for a circumcision ultimately of the heart. That's why Paul goes on to say, you must be circumcised in heart. This is the problem. It speaks of the new birth, which only God can do. In men's hearts, that's it. Abraham was a man that was saved by grace. And therefore, because he had grace, God gave him faith. That's why the Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Abraham believed that God would justify the ungodly. The same with David. David was a murderer. Could he ever be justified? Could he ever be saved? The Jews had no room to boast, no pride. But they thought they were the children of God. Now, I tell you what, I did a word study this week. I often like to do word studies. Search the scriptures in the Old Testament. Never once are the Jews actually called the children of God. Never once. I'll save you a lot of time. Never once. But they are called the children of Israel. And our text is very interesting here. Whoever believes on him gave he power to become the sons, literally the word there is technon, the children of God. By nature we are all, Jews and Gentiles, children of wrath. Nobody is born a child of God. We are separated from God by nature. That's all of us. He said to the Jews, you do the work of your father, the devil. He never called them children of God, the children of Israel. But this one, he came to his own people who had shown so much favor, so much goodness toward, and they didn't receive him. Think of all the blessings that the Jews have had for millennia, but lost. In fact, all the privileges that they had just made them more proud. And more proud and more proud. Circumcision made them proud. We have the oracles of God. We have Moses. We have the law. We have Abraham. We have this. We have that. We have the temple. But yet, they knew not God. When he came into the world, he came to his own. And his own received him not. They knew so much about him. And you can search about the Lord Jesus throughout the Old Testament. He's all over the place. There's Christ all over the scriptures. He said to the Jews, search the scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life, but it is they which do testify of me. But they wouldn't have it. And they wouldn't have him. And when he showed that he is God, they refused him. And they hung him on a tree. They prided themselves in their circumcision, in their nationalism, in even that covenant which God made with the people at Mount Sinai, which was never really a covenant of grace. But God promised through that covenant to give them a land, and that out of one of those tribes, Judah, the Savior, would come. the promised seed of the Messiah, in which Abraham would have a people that God would save through his seed, which is Christ. That's the promise. That's the everlasting covenant. But the Jews prided themselves on external things. And many people come to church and they pride themselves on external things. Coming to church, even baptism, all kinds of things. Well, I've been baptized, somebody says. Well, I've been a member here. I belong to such and such a family. And they have prided themselves. They pride themselves in these external things, but they don't know God in the heart. And when Christ is preached to them, they reject him. That's everybody by nature. Now, verse 11 is speaking primarily about the Jews. He came to his own. His own received him not. But you could also say that of the world, couldn't you? He came to the world. His own creation. And every man rejects him. And this would be terrible if it weren't for verse 12, would it? Because verse 12 moves on to a precious truth. What is that truth? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, notice there, the sons of God. Literally, in the Greek, it's the children of God. You could use that word, sons. Sometimes it's used synonymously, even to them that believe on his name. You see, by nature, we're not sons of God. We are separated. Our sins have made a separation between us and our God. Why is it men don't come to him? Well, if you just look at verse 19 of chapter 3. He's the light. We've read this in this chapter, haven't we? And this is the condemnation, John 3:19. He's just talked to Nicodemus and said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You don't know the ABCs about the kingdom of heaven. You're a Jew. You pride yourself in being a Jew. You pride yourself in circumcision. You pride yourself in all these things. But Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he moves on later on in this chapter and he says in the verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is the problem. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. What has John said? Christ is the light. Why do people reject Christ? Sin. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, that's the problem. That's the big issue, isn't it? It's the heart. You see, it was there. You think of the Jews, given so much privilege. And you might be somebody here, you're born into a Christian family. Think of how much maybe you've been taught. Maybe some of you aren't born in a Christian family. But maybe you are. And you've been given so much privilege. It's incumbent upon you. You know the truth. To much whom much has been given, much will be required. The Jews were people who were especially blessed and preserved down through the millennia. But when it came time, they rejected the most important thing, God. And that's us. That's every one of us. We'd be no different. All of us. But now notice in verse 46, when this chapter here, John 1, when the Lord Jesus sees Nathanael. And look at Nathanael's attitude, but his heart is soon changed. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Because remember, the Lord Jesus found Philip and he brought him. And Philip's told Nathanael now. And then we notice at the end of this chapter, He addresses Nathanael. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, Nathanael received him straightway. Why was that? Because the Lord Jesus was dealing with his heart. The Lord had an encounter with him. A true Israelite, one of the flesh, one in the heart. This is what Paul speaks about in Romans 9. These are the children of God, he says. Of the promise, not of the natural. But whose heart is changed. Abraham's heart was changed. God called him out of pagan darkness. Abraham was not a Jew. He was called out of pagan darkness, ancient Mesopotamia. But then he would become the father of the Jews. But you see, the Jews prided themselves on Abraham, the things of man, but they saw no need for Christ. They didn't want Christ because he exposes sin. He is the light. And that's how it is for each and every one of us. Men reject God because of light. He is light. We are darkness. Sin. It's in every heart. Until we're born again. God does a work. The Jews were in as much darkness as the Gentiles were. They had the truth. But their hearts were in darkness. But notice the children. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Again, I emphasize, you can search the Old Testament. Never, never, never do you find the Jews referred to as being the sons or the children of God. Never. But the children of Israel. But they thought they were. They thought they were. And you can think you are because you have privilege, because you have things and you're taught these things, but you're lost. Well, just turn with me to Acts chapter 13. The Gentiles are hearing the apostles preach. Verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, that is the gospel, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It's an amazing verse, isn't it? Who were these Gentiles? Well, they were ordained to eternal life, even from before the foundation of the world. Just as many Jews would be ordained like Abraham. It's all of grace. It's not of race. It's all of the gift of God. To whomsoever he will have mercy. These people heard the word of God. They believed. And what does the text say here? To as many as believed upon his name gave he power to become the sons or the children of God. These are the children of God. Have you believed? You see, you may feel, I don't come from a privileged background. I don't come from this. But have you believed upon Christ? That is, have you seen who you are? You're a sinner. And that you're lost without him. My friends, that's wonderful news. That is the best news you can know. That you are a terrible sinner. And without Christ, you're lost. And you believe on Christ. And whoever believeth on the Son hath eternal life. And what is more, believing on him is the work of God. You study John chapter 3, it's like the wind. We walk outside, we see the leaves moving. The Lord Jesus said, it's like this, Nicodemus. You can't see the wind. It's the work of the Spirit. The Spirit quickens. The wind moves. You can't see it working, but you can see its effects. And what are the effects of the Holy Spirit? We believe. We repent. And we believe. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's the gift of God. That's the mercy of God. If we find ourselves repenting and believing, we thank God. He's opened our eyes. Many will never hear the word of God. Many will pass through this world and never hear. So what a privilege we have in coming to the word of God. When we hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit takes the word and applies it to our souls. And we're brought to the knowledge of this one who is the truth. And we say, I am a sinner, I'm dark, but I love him who is light. And I want to be like him. I don't want to reject the light anymore. I want to come to the light and I want to walk in the light. John says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him and with the Father. And he illumines our hearts and our minds, and he gives us direction in our lives, and he completely changes us. What's this called? It's called the new birth. And how does that come? Does it come by DNA? No. Not at all. It's the work of God. This is the promise of the new covenant. You see, the Jews in the Old Testament prided themselves on that old covenant of ceremonies and things like that. Let me just take you quickly to Jeremiah 31. The people in these days, God is dealing with, well, he's already dealt with Israel in the north. The 10 tribes have been dispersed into Samaria. They have a king no more. But in the south, Judah now is going to be taken into captivity because they have rejected God. They have broken his covenants or his covenant. God is now going to destroy the temple. But he says, I'm not done. My son is still to come into the world. And he is determined to have a people by his covenant. Notice Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, though I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. See, that was under Moses, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You see, under that first covenant, there was no provision for sin. The sacrifices of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But in this new covenant, which the Lord Jesus said, which is in my blood, is the remission of sins. And in this covenant, everyone from the youngest to the oldest knows the Lord. And he writes his law upon their hearts. These are the children of God. It means a new heart, a new nature. You're a child of God. How? You're born of God. He says, I will put my laws in their hearts. This is not something we can do as natural men. We reject the law of God. The carnal mind is enmity with God and his law. It's not subject to God. Neither to his law, neither indeed can it be. But when God gives the new heart, my friends, When the Spirit breathes, He reveals our sin. When He comes, He shall convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. This is the new covenant. And all that are in this know the Lord. And they are taught of God. Blessed be God. Born of God. Not of the will of man, but of God. What amazing thing. If you're sat here tonight and you're believing, it's the work of grace. It's the work of God. It's the work of a gracious God. See in the verse 11 how people reject Him. Privileged. And I tell you, privilege and ceremony and all those things can be a great vice to a man. There's nothing we could ever do to present us before God acceptably. Nothing. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning the law, he said, blameless. There was a man who did everything outwardly, circumcised on the eighth day, but lost. But he said, but when the law came, he said, I died. I was as a dead man, I was convicted. And the Lord struck me down on that road to Damascus and showed me my need for Christ. He said, I threw it all away. All my form, all my ritual, all my ceremony, my whole life, I count it but skubala, dung for the sake of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whom is my salvation. Born of God, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. How is that? Because we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who believe, Christ suffered for on the cross. We are told by the Apostle Paul that we are adopted into the family of God by Jesus Christ, the purchased possession, the bride of Christ. He has one bride, one people, one everlasting covenant, which He promised to Father Abraham, that should come through His seed. And Paul says in Galatians, he doesn't say seeds, but seed, which is Christ. And Paul says, if we're in Christ, we're children of Abraham. These people prided themselves in Abraham. Abraham took no pride in his circumcision. It spoke to the righteousness of the faith which he had even before he was circumcised. A new heart. A circumcised heart. That's what God does with us. He gives us a new heart. He gives us new desires. He puts His laws in our hearts. There is mercy with the Lord that He may be feared. It's the work of grace. See the state of man. People reject Him. But we thank the Lord for all the buts of the Word of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. How do we receive Him? By ourselves? No. It says, which were born of God. This believing and receiving can only be on account of the new birth. Of the new birth. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And you know, my Bible tells me, Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 3, and whatsoever God doeth it, He doeth it forever. Forever. forever his children. Forever. What shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Men are born blind, willfully blind, and haters of God. But thank the Lord, he opens up many of the blind eyes of people to see Christ. Remember the young man in John 9. The Jews cast him out of the temple. And then the Lord Jesus, he goes on to teach about his sheep and his sheepfold. I'm the door of the sheepfold. You cast him out. You pride yourselves. But I am the door. I am the entrance. I am the entrance to the sheepfold. And he that comes to the Son hath life. My friends, as you look at your life, as I look at my life, we should never wonder and ask, does God receive me on some basis of some good work that I've done? Not at all. On my family, my heritage, my line, my lineage? No. God does this because of his free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus. To most men, he gives them what they most assuredly deserve, and that is eternal damnation. But to some, he quickens them and gives them eternal life through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe because, as we read in Acts chapter 13, they were ordained to eternal life. So you may have come from no religious background, not a Christian family, straight off the street, and God has convicted you of your sin, and he has brought you to a knowledge of Christ. You've repented and you've believed upon the Lord. I say that is an amazing thing. An amazing thing. He's brought you to hear his word, and you believe. And now you have eternal life. And nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Nothing. He saw Nathanael sitting there under the tree. He sees people as we preach in the open air ministry. And he calls them by his word, and they come and they believe. And he gives them eternal life. So many sit in churches and they pride themselves on their background, on their family. Ah, friend, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. That's what the Jews did. But blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Salvation is of God. I hope you see in these verses man's utter, lost, helpless, hopeless state, but God's grace toward poor sinners. Praise God. He's merciful. We thank him for his dear Son. Who does God save? Sinners. All are sinners. That's who he saves. Whoever believeth that Jesus, 1 John 5:1, is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. That's why he writes those laws on our hearts. We know we're the children of God. We love to be here on the Lord's Day to hear God's word. Keep coming, keep hearing, keep believing. God, he saves the soul, and he keeps the soul, and he takes that soul to eternity with them. It's not of race, but it's entirely of his grace. Thank the Lord. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And thank the Lord if he's shown you mercy, as he's shown me mercy. Amen.